guys, the title of this lesson is the words of Jesus that were spoken at the climax of one of the more momentous events during his earthly ministry. That was the time of the raising of Lazarus from the dead, as recorded for us in John, the 11th chapter. That account is an inspired history that tells of one who was once physically dead, but returned to life. Unlike many who claim to have returned from the dead today, we do not read of Lazarus reviewing his experiences that occurred during his death and thereafter. The importance of the event actually lies in what was revealed concerning Christ and God the Father. John 1 and verse 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Hebrews 1 and verse 3 identifies Jesus as the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In John the 14th chapter, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, showeth the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" Jesus added, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." As Jesus is revealed, so the Father is also revealed. And in this event of raising Lazarus, we take note of several of the characteristics of Jesus. Now the record begins with Jesus beyond the Jordan where John first baptized. Word came that Lazarus was sick in Bethany. He was the brother of Mary and Martha. "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick," was the message Jesus received. But Jesus did not react as maybe we possibly would, that is, going immediately to his side. He knew that this was going to be an opportunity to glorify God and identify himself as the Son of God. So he remained where he was for two more days. Then he left for Judea. It was dangerous for him to go because the scripture says the Jews of late sought to stone him. After Jesus explained to his disciples that Lazarus had died, even they were determined to follow him into the area of danger. They said, "Let us go, that we may die with him." Do we not see the great love Jesus had for his friends? Are we not impressed with his sense of duty toward God and his mission on earth? We are shown his matchless courage in face of anger and in face of danger. And even more to the benefit of others, he was able to provoke courage and confidence in the minds of his disciples to the extent that they were willing to risk themselves in order to follow him. He was such a positive example of leadership. When Jesus first arrived at Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He was first met by Martha. She said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." The confidence she had in Jesus and the knowledge of his relationship to the Father is quite evident. She was sure Jesus could have prevented the death of Lazarus. But even though he had been absent at the time, when she would have had him to be present, her confidence in him was not shaken in the least. Now that she expected Jesus to raise her brother from the dead is not very evident, however, from what transpires. She was simply saying in other terms that we would use, "If only you could have come sooner." Their conversation continued. Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." John chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. There is so much revealed concerning Christ in that passage. The words spoken between them were deep water for Martha and for us. She had hope in the eventual resurrection as Jesus taught. In John 5, Jesus had said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now this truth is a great comfort to all who are faithful followers of Christ when they are called to lay to rest the bodies of their faithful brethren and their loved ones taken by physical death. But Jesus means far more than the immeasurable and eventual resurrection. He proclaims himself as the power behind the resurrection. He is the conqueror over death as much as he was the conqueror over disease. He is the source of life. He leads mankind to victory over the last enemy, which is death. And furthermore, the life that he offers is an eternal life, dear friend. And this life can belong to one and to all by believing in him. And this faith, which in the scripture is always an active, obedient faith, is underscored in verse 26. The life of which he spoke is spiritual life. As evidence of his power to give spiritual life, he would show his power over physical death. And he did this at the tomb of Lazarus, as well as at his own tomb later. And he will show it again with his coming and the resurrection of all that are in the graves. Now, to what extent Martha grasped his teaching, we can only wonder. But one thing she did know, and one thing of which she was certain, Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah that was prophesied to come. She confessed that truth regarding him. And while she might not have fully understood the extent of the blessings received in Christ, and who will dare say that he does, she did lay hold on the basic, fundamental, and essential truth about Jesus. This truth is that which he wants all people to recognize and from which all can receive benefit. This truth that he is the Christ, the Son of God, is the foundation upon which everything else regarding Christianity is founded. Matthew 16:16-18. The events that followed tell us even more about our Lord. He was later met by the other sister, Mary, who came quickly to the tomb and to Jesus. The scriptures say that some thought she was going to the tomb to mourn. And when she saw Jesus, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died," the same thing that her sister had said. She too believed in the power of Jesus to spare her brother, if only he had been present. When Jesus saw her weeping, he was obviously moved with compassion and sympathy, and the shortest verse of the scripture of the Bible records, "Jesus wept." Friend, bear in mind that his friend had died, and other friends were in grief. And while he was deity, he was also humanity, fashioned as a man, Philippians 2:8, tempted at all points like as we are, Hebrews 4:15. None can deny the compassion of our Lord toward the sufferer. Some standing by commented, "Behold how he loved him." Then Jesus commanded the unusual and the unexpected, "Take ye away the stone." Well, one sister objected because the body had been dead 4 days and doubtless, lacking the embalming measures commonly practiced today, decay had already begun its process. But Jesus insisted that it be done. "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God?" Verse 40. Then Jesus prayed, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now here we learn the real reason for this entire episode. It was to provide evidence so the observers would believe in him. People now, having this testimony from the Word of God, also have evidence of his deity. John wrote, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 20:30-31. In all of this, we see the intense concern Jesus had for the spiritual welfare of all mankind. And then came the climactic moment. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Now let us raise the question, and it's not the first time it's been raised. In light of these things, as Jesus once asked the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Matthew 22:42. He once asked his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" John 11:45 shows that many believed on him because of this, but not all. Some went away to report the incident, but only to criticize and find fault with him. Sometimes people are heard to say if they could just see a miracle as those people did, then they would believe. But why do they so reason? Are they really that different from people living then? Some saw the miracle and still did not believe. Why would one necessarily conclude that he might do differently? Do we not realize that the same power behind the miracle is the power behind the inspired testimony of that miracle? To fail to believe on the basis of the divine testimony is to deny the power behind it. If one really believes that God is real, that he has all power, he will believe what God says as readily as he believes what God has done. If you will properly consider what the inspired record has to say regarding the Christ, will you not believe and obey? What do you think of Christ? Is he the Son of God? Realizing that the evidence demands that you conclude that he is, why do you not come to him now? In faith, repentance, confession, being baptized into Christ, to be raised to walk in a newness of life. And it is then, friend, the eternal life that he brings will be yours. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.